Is it not Friday yet? Motherfucker.
Blog Talk Radio.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you ready for this
you
one?
You see people.
Go.
We're saying what we want, give it to you non-stop. Any place, anytime, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll, we never gonna tell. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Hola, compadres. This is your No Rules, Just Mics radio show. I am Topher, and we have Christian on the line also. Christian, how are you? Well, you're breaking up a lot, buddy.
I'm driving right now.
Well, I think we have some technical difficulties on your end. But as you guys know, well, Christian's going to kind of get on the phone again. We are your No Rules radio show. We bring you the latest and probably sometimes controversial topics like today that you want to know. Today we have a couple of really awesome things, but I want to start off with the weekend roundup, which is something that I like to do. As most of you know, I lost my ferret on Thanksgiving. And it was a tough time for us, but you know, as the days in the calendar go on, we move forward, and you know, the grieving process gets a little easier every day. But I do have one other little ferret. Her name is Jinx, and I'll try to post a picture of her on the You Know Rules Just Mike's Facebook page before the end of the day, or before the end of the show. I'll try to do that. And you know, as days on the calendar go, she's kind of become a little lonely. You know, Matthew and I, we work anywhere between 8 to 10 hour days, and she's just kind of home by herself. So we decided, instead of getting another fare, to start looking at puppies, at dogs. So with that being said, oh, there's Christian.
I like puppies. I love it.
I know you do. So we went to the SPCA, and I highly recommend, if you guys are going to adopt, save a life, get, you know, adopted a pet from the SPCA. And if you're not wanting to adopt, especially over the holiday season, donate. Either donate time, donate money, donate food, just donate. They can never have enough of anything. And we literally spent a good hour there, and we played with a couple of dogs, and we kind of fell in love with both of them. We didn't pick any up. I'm, you know, just going to put that out there. We didn't pick any dogs up, but it was interesting because I'm so used to having such a small little kind of little ferret running around the house and getting into everything. And here's this dog that literally is like charging at you, and it's going to do two things. It's either going to run around you, or it's going to pummel you. But it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun nonetheless. So we've been dog shopping. Christian, are you still there?
Yeah, can you hear me all right now?
Yeah, I can hear you good.
All right, cool.
And I know Christian has a dog.
Yes. My little boy, Remy, my girlfriend and I have. We love him, adore him. He's a brat. He gets in some trouble, but that's half the fun of having a dog. And I didn't know that you guys are going puppy shopping. That's really exciting. I love it when people get dogs. I like that Remy might have a future playmate.
Yep.
Another couple that you and I both know got a dog about a month ago now. I love it. Dogs are the best thing in the world. Going to the SPCA is simultaneously the greatest thing you'll do, but also ridiculously heartbreaking seeing these dogs there. And you just want to take all
of
them home.
Oh, my God, yeah. It's
awful.
Yes, yeah.
But, you know, like
it
you
is
said,
terrible.
If you can't, you know, if you can't adopt a dog, and obviously not everyone can, nor should everyone, you know, donating stuff, a lot of places will take blankets and food, and, you know, a lot of their websites will list what they need. And it's sometimes it's stuff you wouldn't realize, like hand soap for the, you know, for the workers there, and, you know, sanitizers and things like that. So definitely donate. And if you can't even do that, although it might be heartbreaking, just go to the SPCA in town, even if you're not looking, and just, you know, say hi to a couple dogs and pet them and whatnot. It, you know, believe it or not, that can make that dog stay. They're sitting there that whole time, you know, just wanting to be taken home, but they love attention. So Anyway, off the little I Love Puppies soapbox, but I know I'm definitely excited for you guys. What were the two kinds of dogs that you guys liked?
There was one, her name was Bridget, and she was a tiny, she was a little hound mix. And immediately I knew that because she was a hound, she probably wasn't the right dog for us because, you know, hounds hunt, and what do they hunt? Small little weasel things, and what do I have? A small little weasel thing.
But you shouldn't call your husband that. That's rude.
Shut up. No, we played, I played with her for probably about 20 minutes to a half hour. We were playing fetch, and I was teaching her how to, you know, when she brings it back, because she did that very well. But when you told her, all right, drop it, by the third or fourth time, she kind of got the hang of it and knew that I was wanting to play with her. So she seemed like a really easy dog to train, and she was so lovable. And when you whistled and you called her, she came running. I kind of had a little soft spot for her, but there was this beautiful lab golden retriever mix. His name was Ace, and he was like a strawberry blonde dog, and he was absolutely gorgeous, but huge. And he was only about 8 months to a year old, so he still had a lot of growing to do. But Matthew kind of fell in love with him.
So. That's always the tough part, too. When you're getting a dog with somebody else, people have different preferences, and you know, they want a specific dog, but you might not want it, and vice versa. But
right.
You know, in the end, you'll find that perfect dog that you both like. It may not be that perfect mix that you were looking for, but yeah, you'll know when you find a dog that you both will like and get along with. And it sounds like you already have two options. Maybe you should try both.
Yeah, it was interesting, and I completely agree with you. I think, you know, the universe will make sense, and when the right dog comes along, it will make sense, and we'll know it. The last thing we wanted to do is feel forced or pushed or anything like that. But, you know, it was nice getting the process started and actually, you know, looking and kind of seeing what's out there. So,
yeah,
that was Sunday.
Go ahead. Sunday, very nice.
On Saturday, have you ever been to an MMA fight?
Actually, I have, yeah, UFC one time. Quick story, a buddy of mine, his uncle worked for a website, which I believe still exists, fightnews.org or .com, I can't remember which. But he really liked boxing. He wasn't into UFC, but he knew that at the time I was a journalism major at UConn. So he said to my buddy, hey, would you and your friend like to go to this UFC fight? I don't want to do it. You just have to write an article about it. So, of course, we went, and we were, like, ringside for UFC. This is like 2001 or something, a long time ago.
Right.
But Chuck Liddell was the biggest name that was there probably. It's before he was, you know, who he is now. But anyway, so we went, we wrote about it. It was a lot of fun. It was cool being there. But, yeah, that was my only time being there. It was about 10 years ago now.
Well, so Saturday I went, and I've never been to one. I'm a lover, not a fighter. I know that sounds
yeah,
sexy, but I really am. I don't like fighting. You know, that whole boxing, I don't like that. I find it senseless, if I'm going to, you know, be honest. I find it kind of dumb. But my next-door neighbor and one of our very good friends, her boyfriend, just did his first MMA fight. And I have to tell you, I was kind of dreading it. I was really a pain in the ass for most of the day because I was like, oh, I really don't want to go. This is something that I don't like. You know, there's going to be blood all over the place, and it's just going to be a mess, and whatever, whatever. I went on my little gay soapbox, and, you know, ultimately, you know, Matthew was like, so how about you just stay home if you're not going to be happy, and I'll just go by myself. And I was just like, no, I'll go. So I went, and I actually had a lot of fun. There were a lot of really beefy guys there, like really kind of jacked up, muscular guys. But some of them weren't bad looking, but the fights were kind of intense. We were about 5 seats back on the floor, so we were pretty close to the action. But it was unlike anything else that I've seen. If it wasn't for the fact that my friend, that that our friend's boyfriend was there, I wouldn't have went. But I have to say, it was not that bad, and he kicked ass. He definitely kicked the shit out of that guy.
It's a mutual friend of ours, and he actually had invited me, and I did want to go, but I just couldn't make it work that night. When I extra wanted to go once I heard you and Matt and Kim, our friend, were going too, and I thought it'd be a lot of fun. But you know what? I wouldn't have dreaded the fights themselves. I can watch UFC, I can watch boxing. I don't hate it. I personally would not want to participate, but. Yeah, I'm okay with it, but I think I would have been really nervous for when our friend's boyfriend was in the ring. I would have been so nervous just because I actually knew that person. It would have made a big difference. And our friend Kim, who is the guy's girlfriend, she was telling me how she was just so nervous before his fight. Like, she was, like, sick of her stomach feeling. Like, it was awful. Like, I can't even imagine, like, someone I'm dating.
She was not sick of her stomach from nerves. She was drinking. That bitch is drinking.
Well, maybe
she had probably about 6 or 7 vodka cranberries.
Yeah.
She's drinking.
But you and I know her. Our listeners don't know her that well. She normally doesn't drink that much. She's usually pretty like, whatever, I'll have a couple drinks. I'll get a little goofy. But having that many drinks for her, yeah, I think that was her dealing with her nervousness. But she ended up sending me a video the next day of part of the fight. And our buddy did pretty good. Like, he held his own. He even picked up the guy and slammed him down. He didn't end up winning, unfortunately, from what I was told, but he did a pretty good job. And I'm just happy he came out unscathed. You know, that's the only thing about that whole thing that worries me. But with two people you don't know beating the crap out of each other, it's not so horrible.
Well, there was only one real bad bloodshed, and it was this, this Irish guy from Yonkers, New Jersey, and he, you know, everybody's like, "Oh, Jim Yonkers, he's so awesome!" And the minute he got in the ring, he got his ass handed to him, and his face was bleeding like nonstop bleeding.
Oh, man.
Seriously, like, stop, you know, stop the game, fight the match.
Yeah,
know
what it was.
Fight. Yeah, they had to stop that. One, because he lost, but two, because there was blood all over the mat, and. I'm not laughing because it was funny. I'm laughing because, like, seriously, you know, he was, like, kind of all, like, big and bad and whatever not. And within, like, I think it was 48 seconds, he had his ass handed to him. And all those people were like, yeah, go Yonkers. They're like, man, you must be from the wrong side of Yonkers. It was so funny how they immediately turned on him.
Right.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I won't ever do it again unless our friend is going to do it. But I have to say, from not wanting to go and dreading it, it wasn't that bad. And I know that there is one of the former Power Rangers, Jason David Frank, does MMA fighting. And I haven't seen that, and I'm pretty sure some of the folks in the chat room who are big fans of his probably have seen him kind of go at it. But I haven't seen it. It's just because it's nothing that I'm really interested in. But, you know, for a first time, I thought it was fun.
Yeah, and you know what, I like watching MMA on TV. I'm not one of those people who orders the pay-per-view, but I don't mind when it's on. The only downside is, and I think you've been with me once or twice, where we went to go out to, like, Buffalo Wild Wings or something. We're like, yeah, you know what, we kind of want some food, but we also want some drinks. Let's just go to Buffalo Wild Wings. It'll be fun. It's usually a cool atmosphere. And we go, and there would just be, it'd be packed because there's all these bros there waiting for the UFC fight to start, and they're all in their tap-out T-shirts, and they're all, you know, been getting worked out or getting all swell, as they call it, at the gym. And it's too much testosterone for me. Maybe I'm just jealous because I'm kind of a smaller guy and all those muscles just make me upset that I don't have any. I don't know. But no, it's usually not fun watching at those places with people. But if you can remove them, I don't mind watching them. But I wish I could have been there with you. It sounds like it would have been fun.
Yeah, it would have been a lot of fun with you. It's one of those things where, and we've been to B-Dubs, and you're right. They all wear their tap out shirts, and they wear, dude, you're not fighting. You're a fat ass drinking in a bar. Stop. It's not cool. But anyway, that's just me.
All right. Well, that
like,
was sounds like you had a
like,
pretty good weekend.
I did. It was eventful, to say the least. What did you do?
Pretty quiet weekend, nothing really too exciting to share. I was off with my girlfriend, was working, so I spent a lot of time doing my own stuff, like working on my website, running errands, that stuff. But we did do one fun thing. Sunday night, kind of last-minute plans. We went to a friend's house. They had a fire, and my girlfriend had actually won a contest for this company in South Carolina. They're called Haypenny Confections. And they make s'mores, and they make flavored marshmallows, and they make their own graham cracker cookie things, and then they provide chocolate from a local, chocolatier. And they give you this pack, and they've given it to her. Unbeknownst to them, they'd already given me a free sample because I'd written about them on my website. So we had all these s'mores, all these different flavors. They have, like, chocolate, mint chocolate, pumpkin spice, chocolate orange or something, orange chocolate, something like that. I mean, just toasted coconut, these awesome marshmallow flavors that they hand make. So we had like a similar party and cooked out. Yeah, and I'm looking to write about them again, and I'll probably buy some, so I'll definitely have to share some with you. But Haypenny Confections, they're based out of South Carolina, but I'm sure once, they're kind of in their infancy, but once they kind of get rolling, I'm sure they'll ship to anywhere. Pretty fun to have some friends cooking marshmallows and, flavored marshmallows. It was a lot of fun. So big shout out to them, and check them out online, haypennyconfections.com.
That's excellent. And for those of you who don't know, this is Christian's part-time job. Christian actually runs a local website called Holy City Center. If you want to go check it out, it's holycitycenter.com. He's one of the best bloggers that's out there. He talks about food. He talks kind of about South Carolina culture. I highly recommend you look him up. If you're interested in visiting Charleston, he's really the only place that I would visit, or that the only website that I would go to kind of find out what's new, what's cool, what's hip. He's amazing. So I highly recommend you check out his website. One, just to support him, and two, if you're interested in coming to Charleston, there you go. You've got everything at your fingertips.
So he does that for kind words. But yeah, absolutely. It is a very local site. However, there are a lot of places here in Charleston that you may be interested if you visit, or a lot of these places you can order stuff from and have it shipped to you. So yeah, browse it. I appreciate it. It's a lot of fun. But anyway, moving on, I guess. I don't know if you saw enough about me. Not too much details are out, but I think we kind of have to touch on it real quick before we kind of delve into our normal show topic. We've talked about gun control in the past, or if there even should be, and shootings and the issues with America, and why does it happen here? Well, unfortunately, breaking news over the last hour or so, there's been another shooting reported at a mall, I believe in Oregon. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. In Portland, Oregon. It's all over the news. I'm currently looking at Yahoo, but I mean, it's everywhere. At least one person dead so far. It's early, so we'll see, but just another terrible thing. So if you're interested, it's breaking news right now. You can find it anywhere on the web. Lots of people injured. Just kind of a sign of the times type thing. I was on Twitter when I first, got the breaking news thing pop up from like CNN or something. And then somebody else who I just happened to be following retweeted someone who's actually in the mall. And they had tweeted out on their phone, like, just heard shots fired. I'm at the mall. I'm hiding out in this location. It sounded like it was like 15 feet in front of us. I mean, just scary stuff. And it just shows you like what technology does. It's like live information from people who are there. It's crazy to think about, if someone's hiding and they're like, maybe I should tweet this out. I'm stuck here. Maybe take my mind off it for a minute and maybe help police or whoever know where we are and protect us. But yeah, really, really crazy stuff. It's on my, on at Holy City Center on Twitter. I had retweeted that tweet, which was somebody in the mall. So if you want to see it, I'm sure you can Google search it too, but yeah. Breaking news, check it out. Just keep an eye on it. I know it's something we touch on a lot, but definitely sad news coming out of Portland, Oregon right now.
It really is, and it's awful. And, it's awful anytime, but, now that it's around the holidays, I don't understand. I just don't understand stupid people. And then, I don't know. We've talked about this before, and all I do is get frustrated and pissed off because it makes no fucking sense.
It doesn't. And, again, that doesn't necessarily mean you and I both believe that guns should be outlawed completely. LaShawna Brooks, I hope I pronounced that first name right, in our chat room says about gun control, they believe that guns should be taken off the street, which, you know, a lot of people agree with that. But regardless, it's so sad to see someone get so upset or worked up or mad or whatever that they feel like they have to, like, just shoot up a bunch of random people. But bad stuff out of Oregon for sure. Well, something I know I'll be keeping an eye on. You know, I'm a sucker for anything that's in the news, and I'll be glued to TV, I'm sure, tonight just learning about it. But I wish I wasn't, right, you know, interested in this stuff because it's always ridiculously sad to hear about that someone could, you know, do that to their fellow man.
But
the other thing that I found really disgusting is I was looking,
I was on the internet, and, you know, it came across, when a little pop-up came up across my computer for E! News, and People Online, and it was this big news break that Beyonce and Jay-Z were watching the Miami Heat game.
That was great.
And the only thing that I can say out loud was, are you fucking serious? This is breaking news. This is big, hot shit that you know, the world has to almost come to a halt for. You turn around and you have all these fighting, all these gunshots, and nope, the only thing that People Magazine or People Online wants to read about is Jay-Z and Beyonce sitting watching a motherfucking basketball game.
You know, I
get... takes the hell out of me.
I get that People and E! News aren't necessarily going to be that hard-hitting news source. You know, they're more celebrity-driven. I get that. And I also get people not wanting to see news about a shooting like there is right now. It makes some people sad. It makes them upset. Does it really – this is something they need to educate themselves on? Not necessarily. So I get wanting to escape from that stuff. But, yeah, with the internet especially, I mean, this has been around before the internet and – when the internet was in its infancy, this, like, caring so much about celebrities, even that I get to an extent. You and I both have our celebrity obsessions, if you want to even call it that. We're like, the tiniest bit of news would be interesting to us, but we have our limits. And Jay-Z, especially since Jay-Z owns a portion of the Brooklyn Nets, this isn't news. This isn't shock. They're married, too. This isn't a big deal. This isn't,
right.
You know, it reminds me, I saw, I think it was yesterday, breaking news again, Kim Kardashian's cat has died. Maybe this was last week. That's not news. It's not. Maybe there's people out there who care, but news would be like Kim Kardashian died or someone in her family who was on TV died, but her fucking cat? I mean, that's how news is these days. It's crazy that you're going to have the one extreme of breaking news, a real story, then you're going to have these pseudo news outlets, you know, where all they're talking about celebrity gossip. And it's the most mundane stuff, too.
It makes the stuff that's out there, like the important stuff and the stuff that really is breaking news, it makes it seem like, you know, it's almost kind of like a slap in the face to that stuff. Oh, Kim Kardashian's cat passed away, and Jay-Z and Beyonce are holding hands, and there are a bunch of people getting shot up in a mall. They're the same thing, right? No.
Right. I don't want to completely attack celebrity news because, again, there is part of me that is interested in some things that occur, even with celebrities I don't care about.
I agree.
They're in the public spotlight. But those, even Kim Kardashian's cat, as frustrated as I was because I don't care about the Kardashians, it kind of makes me angry and jealous that they're famous for, you know, nothing really. So that there's that part of me. But also, you know, even if it was a celebrity I actually cared more about or, you know, a public figure that I looked up to, I don't think I would necessarily care that their pet died unless their pet was a big news source for some reason. I don't know. It drives me nuts. I know that there's times at work I have access to the internet at work. We have some downtime. I can play on the internet. My phone, of course, is a smartphone. There are times where, it's a nice break from the normal thing to see celebrity news, but it's gotten to the point where they just feel like they have to fill up the airways with something that's the most ridiculous and pointless things are out there.
It is ridiculous. And I completely agree with James and Toku. You know, if a Kardashian died, I really wouldn't care. And Toku says, if any Kardashian died, I would go dance naked in the snow. And I would probably be right there with you, because all of the Kardashians fucking suck. They're the worst people on the planet. So, I agree. And the fact that I even brought it up, you know,
yeah,
I really should kind of kick myself in the teeth for it. But, you know, I say it because there are so many other things out there that you can talk about that is about entertainment and you know, Hollywood and all that crap. The last thing that I want to see and the last thing that I want to be breaking news is Beyonce and her husband going to a basketball game, or Kim Kardashian's 8-week-old cat that she got died from some kind of rare illness. I don't care.
Now,
if you mention anything about Britney Spears, I am game. I am reading it. I am watching it. I am tweeting about it. I am all about it. But, you know,
but even
everybody
so,
has their
so
lives.
You would either have your limits, or you would even agree, like, even though you're interested, you don't see it as news for the general population.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
It has nothing to do with her pet or her children. I don't want to know. That's, for me, that's their person. That's her personal life. That's their personal
life. Right, exactly.
If she's coming out with a movie, or she's coming out with a new album, or she's doing something else with the X Factor, or she's, you know, whatever. You know, if it has something to do with the reason why she's famous, then that's, you know, that's stuff that I want to know. That's stuff that I care about. But, you know, if one of her kids are sick and she's bringing it to the hospital, leave it the fuck alone. Who cares?
Right.
It's none of your damn business.
But that's the thing. It's partly the public's problem, because one of the things with news, it's a supply and demand type industry, even though they're not necessarily putting out a product other than, you know, just words written down. But people want this stuff. People forward these links. People retweet them. They put them on Facebook. Well, here we are talking about it. Now we're not talking about, oh, my goodness, can you believe, and giving it, you know, our approval. We're talking bad about it, but we're talking about it. you know, so when you combine the fact that there are people like, this isn't news, they're still talking about the fact that this story is out there, and then there's people that care. People want this stuff. So it's partially the public's fault as well. And I don't necessarily fault places like TMZ and such for trying to capitalize on that and be like, there's a market here. You know, do they go too far sometimes? Absolutely. But, you know, on the bottom level of providing celebrity news, do I get it? I do. You know, I don't fault them 100% for doing something and, you know, making a business out of it. But it does go too far.
It does. It really
does. You know
what?
Enough of that. Let's move on to some real news. Something that's interesting, thought-provoking, perhaps. I know you must have something besides celebrity news for me.
I wanted to save that one.
Okay,
it was funny because I tweeted and I was mentioning the show on Facebook, and I said, oh my God, you have to tune into the show. It's gonna be very exciting. I hope you all listen. .. Except my mom. Mom, you don't have to listen.
I have a topic I found. We'll get to that. I think I found something in the news that I think is a little bit more thought-provoking than celebrity news. So we'll do that one first. Then I'll go to the other thing that I told you about.
Okay.
Earlier this week, I had come across an article, oddly enough, from not a huge news source, but from Patch. For those who are unfamiliar with Patch, they are probably going to take the place, if they haven't already in some communities, of the small local newspaper. You know, everybody has the big newspaper, New York Times or Washington Post, but certain areas of the state would also have their own local papers with a more local focus. Well, a lot of those are going under, and PAC just kind of jumped in. It's an online thing, less workers, less money being paid out, so these will probably survive for quite some time. So I actually enjoy PAC. PAC.com, a lot of communities are in there. Check it out. But anyway, Annapolis PAC, which you can see at annapolis.patch.com, had an article that it must have been linked from a bigger news source. I don't know how I stumbled across it, but they had an article about religious vendors, you know, so churches basically, that are seeking to get an exception, or an exemption rather, for gay marriages. In other words, if they have religious ties and they disagree with gay marriage, that they should be allowed to turn away service or not have to do wedding services for gay couples because they don't believe in it. So I thought this was an interesting topic, and I can't wait to hear what you have to say about it, because I just sent you the link saying, hey, I think this is interesting, and you didn't say anything back. And I know sometimes you and your husband kind of surprise me when it comes to stuff like this. How do you feel about that? About a religious, you know, in a place where gay marriage is now legal, which is Maryland.
Right.
If a religious vendor or whoever is doing something involving weddings decides, you know what, I don't agree with gay marriage, I want to be able to turn service away for these people, what's your thought? And then I'll give my thought.
Okay. So here's my thought. So churches are, by and large, notorious for not being supportive of gay marriage. I get that. And I don't think that that's news to anybody. I think it's pretty much, you know, kind of a given thing, especially when you start talking about the Baptist and evangelical and Christian churches, that it's just something that they don't believe in. It's just something that they won't do. So I get it. You know, if marriage is... I'm not gonna say that. I'm gonna move on.
Okay.
I feel that they have their right to deny marrying same sex couples.
They don't, or they do.
I mean, they have every right to do that. I mean,
okay. No, I didn't hear what you said. I was just clarifying.
It's their prerogative. If they want to deny marriage for gay couples in that church, that's fine. There's going to be other churches out there that will. And, you know, I think it'll speak to that congregation or that whatever you call, you know, the house of a church and that party of really being open-minded and accepting. Because I know there's a couple of Methodist churches, even in South Carolina, which is really interesting, that do, you know, accept gays, and they do accept gay marriages, and, you know, if it was up to the state, or if it wasn't up to the state, that they would have already married gay people.
And you and I, just real quick to interject, I joined you and your husband and our friend Kim for a gay pride parade earlier this year. Had a lot of fun,
yeah.
Whatever, that's not really the point. But we were surprised when the national parade started to see how many churches, especially in South Carolina, were there with banners and promoting their church and saying that we welcome everybody, we support you. I was pleasantly surprised to see that.
Exactly.
So there are some out there that are changing their archaic views on the subject. But anyway, continue.
There are. And... so my final statement is going to be, if you don't agree with something, if you don't like something, if it's something that your beliefs tell you that it's not right, that's fine. You can believe that. I'm firmly okay with that. But I feel that I should gain the same respect. If these churches don't want to do it, if they completely hate gay people and they don't want to marry gay people, it is their prerogative. I think that all of these big organizations are fighting for equality. Goodness. All right, I'm going to say it. I think that all these gay organizations, which are amazing and they stand for a lot and they really try to pave the way for the LGBT community, I think that they need to be a little bit more practice what you preach, if I'm going to be honest. You want equality. You want acceptance. You want all of that. Don't condemn a church and don't condemn a group of people for not believing the same thing that you believe, because you're kind of doing this. You're doing the same thing that they are. They don't accept you. They don't like you. They don't like your beliefs. They don't like your ideas. They don't like your values. And, you know, to turn around and do the same thing, that's really, you're kind of calling the pot and the kettle black. Did I say that right? The pot and the kettle black?
It's like the pot calling the kettle black. You're right. I get that. And that's, you know, you and I have had conversations with Matt about this stuff when the whole Chick-fil-A thing was going down. And I was kind of surprised to hear you guys say that, and I never really thought about it. you know, I kind of got up in arms about some of that stuff. And I'm like, how can people think this way? It's ridiculous. Well, okay, I'm entitled to that opinion. But then I can't get mad at them for then saying the same thing to me, which is, how can you think that gay marriage should be legal? How can you think homosexuality is okay? That's ridiculous. Well, I can't get mad at them for saying that if I'm getting mad at them for their personal beliefs. It's a really weird kind of situation where
it is.
You don't ever really know how to react to things, because people get very strong in their beliefs, and if everybody is just accepting everybody's beliefs but not willing to budge in what they believe, it's going to go nowhere. I don't know. It's a really strange thing. And real quick,
right.
I think we're kind of in agreement on the base level. I was like, screw this. This is ridiculous. How can they do that? And then I thought about it. I was like, you know what? If you have a private business, even if it's religion, you're allowed to do whatever the hell you want, within reason, of course. And if they want to turn down participating in any kind of gay marriage, that's their choice, and they have that right because of their religious beliefs. I don't have to agree with those beliefs, and that's fine. As long as in my country that I live in doesn't follow religious law and not its own law, then it's not much I can do about it. I don't agree with every single practice of religion. Some make me mad. Some I'm just like, okay, that seems silly. Why do you have to do that? So for me, I thought it was okay for churches to say, no, we're not okay with that, even though it's a state law allowing it. We don't personally believe it. Fine, cool. I don't agree with you. I respect it. Whatever. You know, if I was gay, then I'll bring my business somewhere else. And that's that. However,
right, and we agree on that. We agree on that. For me, there's no use in getting upset and picketing and you know, it's
it's not worth it. You're not going to change
people's
minds.
Exactly. That's not what this is about. It's not about, you know, carrying torches and pitchforks and standing at the top of at the top of the mountain and shouting, "I want equality." No, it's really not about that. But I think,
let me throw this wrinkle at you. When I mentioned the article, I had mentioned some churches and whatnot have been saying, nope, we should be exempt from that. And for the most part, that's being accepted. The article is actually, and I purposefully kind of left this out because I wanted to see if this would change the answer. The article is actually about what they call a vendor. What this vendor is, it's a gentleman who works for something called Discover Annapolis Tours. He said, the law exempts my minister from doing same-sex weddings, and the Knights of Columbus don't have to rent out their hall for gay wedding reception. But somehow my religious convictions don't count. So what is Discover Annapolis? I don't know a whole lot about the business, just what I vaguely researched because of this article. It's a place that does, like, tours. They do public tours. They do transportation between places. It's basically a tourism company. And what the guy is saying is, how come churches and private places like Knights of Columbus, they don't have to listen to state law. They can say, no, we don't believe in that. We're not going to participate. But how come my business has to? So now we're kind of getting to that territory where private businesses, they're owned by whoever, even if they're a tour company that's in a public forum, they want to, I guess, either turn down people that they know are gay, maybe they're on a honeymoon or something, or won't bring people places where a gay wedding might be occurring. It's kind of confusing because I don't understand where this comes in on a tour. But this guy basically wants to be able to refuse some form of service against homosexual couples or just individuals, I guess, just because that's his personal belief. So does that change it for you? Do you believe, this guy can do it? Or, where do you fall on that? Cause I think it's a little bit different than a church in this scenario.
You said it yourself. If it's your own personal business and you have your own personal beliefs, you can do whatever the fuck you want. And you can believe whatever the hell you want, and you can serve to those who you want, and not serve to those who you don't want. I hate to be, I feel like I'm being just passive about it, but there's only so much that you can force somebody to do. You can't force people to accept gay marriage. You can't force people to believe one thing or another. It has to come with I think time, with compassion, with acceptance, with understanding, with an appreciation for somebody. You don't have to like the person, but you have to, I think you have to appreciate everybody. You appreciate everybody. And I think through your differences, I think if people are open-minded, I think you're able to find some kind of harmonious level ground and even playing field. You know, and there's people who I work with who don't believe that gay marriage is right. But you know what, we have a common ground. We it's not about that, you know, and they're critical people. They're really awesome people. But I know, that's where they stand. And you can't damn a person for being honest with who they are.
Right. No,
I'm not saying that it's right. I'm just saying that it is what it is. You can't just as much as I want them to accept me, they want me to do the same thing with them. And, you know, I think you're just going to butt heads and it's not going to happen, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, Toku is right. Like, the Chick-fil-A and the Salvation Army have lost a lot of money from, you know, from Toku, but, you know, from everybody else. You know, there are a lot of people who get a lot of slack for not accepting it.
That's what I was going to say, is that, you know, we had that conversation a few months back about Chick-fil-A, and it kind of grounded me a little bit when you and Matt were both like, yeah, well, of course it pisses us off, and we don't like that guy because of what he said, but, you know, number one, it's not all the workers there who necessarily believe that. You can't take it out on people like that one guy did in the famous YouTube clip where he's, like, berating this poor drive-thru worker. You guys kind of floored me with that, and it made me think about it. It changed my tune a little bit. You know, just on the base level, I was like, this is bullshit, and I was so mad, and I was like, fuck Chick-fil-A. If you go to Chick-fil-A on this day, I can't be friends with you, and I was so caught up in that I thought it was wrong that I didn't realize that maybe there was a little bit different side to it, and you guys showed me that side for sure. So, you know, like Toku said, he personally doesn't go to Chick-fil-A, you know, or any businesses like them that come out and say something that he doesn't believe in. And that's his choice, and I'm the same way. I haven't been to Chick-fil-A since it happened, that I'll hit the news. And
right.
Me not going is not going to affect their business. You know, they gained some people going there more often from that, from what they said. They also lost some people. So in the end, Chick-fil-A's going nowhere. It's going to be there. But me personally can't bring myself to support them. And that's fine. That's
right.
My way of doing it. It'll work itself out. And I just, instead of getting so worked up about it, I can say my opinion, but, you know, you guys showed me that there was no need to get so worked up over it and so pissed off, because it's not worth it. You might disagree, but these are people, you're not going to change people's minds when it comes to things like religious belief.
Right, and, you know, you can take a stand, and you can say, I don't approve of the way that you think, and I think it's kind of crappy that you're still so far back in the times that you're not even open-minded to the thought of even just being accepting, not even, you know, approving, just accepting. And, you know, I can silent protest by not spending any money at your restaurant or at your facility. And that's my right.
The hardest thing for me, it wasn't so much the business side, because, yeah, you can silent protest, and these are faceless, nameless people. But what was hard for me was when friends of mine that, you know, I never really talked about this stuff, because we're usually not good to talk about politics, religion, and things of that nature, and work or what have you. People
right.
that I considered friends when this whole Chick-fil-A thing went down kind of showed their true colors to me. So part of me was understanding what you and Matt were saying. And like you said, you work with people and you found a common ground. And I'm always like that with people I disagree with on any number of issues. That, you know, you might not like them, you just don't talk to them as much, you just kind of keep your distance and be civil. But it was always hard for
right.
me, like, how can I be, like, friends with you, like a friend I like to go hang out with, when if I introduce you to my friends who are gay or who are lesbians, you won't like them just because you, and then, you know, some of them would say, well, it's not that I won't like them, I just don't agree with their lifestyle. But then they're not accepting my friends for who they are. So it was always very hard for me, and still is hard for me, to know what to do in those situations. Like, are these people worth my time? They're probably good people, and if they weren't, they wouldn't be my friends to begin with. But something like
right.
that just makes me think so much less of them. And the fact that they might not like my friends just for something silly like that, it's very hard to, you know, for me to know where to cut these people off or if I even should. It's such a tricky subject. We could talk about this for, you know, hours and hours. It's
right.
It's a tough subject. As I'm sure people are well aware.
It is. And, you know, as an openly gay man, you know, I wage that war every time I'm introduced to somebody. I have gotten to the point where, you know, I can kind of figure it out whether or not you're going to be a cool person that I can kind of I can open up to you. I have two patients actually, and I don't broadcast it. That's just not who I am. I'm a pretty discreet person, but there are actually two patients who have, you know, who know that I'm gay and who know that I'm in a long committed relationship with Matthew. They know it. And, you know, it's because just by getting to know the person, I'm able to kind of figure it out. And, you know, after running into people who don't agree with you and, you know, who kind of ostracize you just because you are who you are, you learn to kind of pick up on traits and you kind of learn to pick up on different comments that they make. So it's easy for me to know fairly quickly who I can be open and honest with. And those people who I can't, I just kind of slowly move away and not have them integrated in my life so much as somebody else. With a straight guy, and here's where I think you're kind of an enigma for me, is, you know, you're straight and accepting, and I think everybody in the chat room is if not gay, accepting. Of equality. They might not accept homosexuality per se, but they accept equality. They want equality for everybody.
Right.
You know, it's hard. I don't know. It's interesting to listen to, especially your perspective of somebody who is so passionate about equality and who's so for gay rights and who's so for compassion and acceptance, how you interact with people who aren't. Because you're not having to wage a war with anybody. You know what I mean? So it's really cool to hear you talk about, you know, how much it upsets you and how much it offends you. And from the bottom of my heart, that means so much to me. And I don't mean a whole lot to Matthew. But, you know, I'd be very interested to find out kind of how you bring up the subject. Do you bring up the subject? You know, how does that conversation happen? And, you know, do you find that after coming out as straight but accepting, do you find that you lose a lot of friends, or do you find that most of you are kind of in the same boat that you are?
No, I think we've grown up, people our age for the most part, well, especially where I grew up in the Northeast, and you were born as well and spent a lot of your years, actually, I forget how long you've been here, but
long time.
But you know enough about the North to know that a lot of people are more accepting up there than they are in certain parts of the South. Charleston,
right.
A little bit different. But anyway, we've grown up in a generation where most people, if not most, a vast, way more of a percentage, a higher percentage than our parents, say, are accepting. So for the most part, most of my friends and people that when I was younger getting to know, it's funny because it was never brought up. It wasn't something that you talked about with your friends, but you know, it's funny that people that I associated myself with and are still friends with and thought were good people side with me on this. And that's just, you know, you find good people and that are compatible, even if you don't know where they stand on every issue ever. So I think for the most
right.
part, most of my friends are cool. What more so I've run into isn't so much good friends from my past, so much as newer friends that I've met since moving here. There's a bigger religious base down here, or at least a religious base that practices what they preach, or, you know, more than in the North, you get people who say they're Catholic or they're this, that, or the other, but they don't really go to church and they don't really pay attention. So I think I've run into it a lot more, and it doesn't normally come up. It's not something that comes up in conversation. It might come up with some good friends, you know, hanging out drinking or whatever, but when it comes to work friends, it's not something you bring up. But these are people
right.
that you respect, but when this Chick-fil-A thing happened, that's when it really hit home for me. That's when you saw things on Facebook, Twitter, people might have made snide remarks at work. That's where people that I was friends with, I was kind of like, wait a minute. You know, I saw this other side to them, and I was like, well, wait, if they feel this way about gay marriage and gay people, what else don't I know about them that I might disagree with? Like, if they can't, you know, if there's, and that, it's a whole other conversation about religion and how They treat people how you want to be treated, be nice to everyone, and but then they treat gay people and through history and treated different people so poorly. That's
right.
Another conversation. So that's what, a long story short, I know I'm rambling, but the bottom line was there's people that I was friends with that I liked and thought, hey, yeah, this is a good person. I've hung out with them a few times. But when that came out, it kind of made me question my friendship with them in some aspect, because I am so passionate about it and because I have so many friends, and good friends at that, that are either gay themselves or think there should be equality. It was just, I expected better from some people, and it made me lose respect for some people. And then being such good friends with people like you and Matt, it's difficult for me to be friends with those people, because I'm like, you know, they would respect you and Matt for who you are as people. They, you know, they might be nice to you to your face, but if they go home at night and like, I don't really like those guys because they're gay, like, why would I want to be friends with those people? You know, not all my friends are going to get along, but if you're going to like
right.
them for something stupid, not like them for something stupid like that, I don't know. So, no, it doesn't come up in conversation. It's not something where I meet someone like, hey, where do you stand on this issue, and who do you vote for? What do you think?
Right.
Where do you stand on abortion? But out of all the issues, whether you're Democrat, Republican, pro-life, pro-choice, gun control, no gun control, nothing makes me get more worked up than the equality thing. That's the one that will really make me lose respect for people more so than if they disagree with my thoughts on other topics. I know that didn't really answer your question, but...
No. It really did. You know, you did a good job on that. It's interesting. It's interesting. And we have to have probably a beer and talk a little bit more about it.
We should do a whole hour on the whole gay marriage, gay equality thing, because we've covered most of it now, but it could go on forever.
Right. I think we should talk about the topics that I didn't want my mother to hear.
I think we need to move on. And
yes.
we'll end the show on something that's kind of funny and kind of interesting. Yes, Topher's mom or my mom, if you somehow stumbled across this, you're not going to like this topic. I don't think we're going to be sharing anything horrible about ourselves, but it just might make you uncomfortable nonetheless.
Right. All right, so you've all been warned.
Yep, you've
ready?
Been warned. Ready.
There is a marathon, and, you know, you have jogging marathons and all these other type of marathons, but there is a masturbate-a-thon that happens every year. I think, Christian, you sent this to me, didn't you?
Yes. I am very proud to say that I stumbled across this. I was browsing some news site, and something popped up where it said, like, it was something about a contest that was held in Japan, and it said, like, masturbation contest, and I was like, what? And it was some, like, sex toy company in Japan. It was just, like, this weird thing about, like, five guys were given this new sex toy, and they used it. I don't know. It was, like, a really weird thing, but it led me, it had another link on there. And I was like, oh, those crazy people in Japan, only they would have something like this. And sure enough, there was like a link about something called Masturbate-a-thon, which is in America. I guess some incarnation of it has been around since like 1995, and no surprise here, based out of San Francisco. And it kind of picked up steam as the years have gone on. It was in Denmark in 2009, but also San Francisco too in 2009. And they do, you know, it's supposed to be about safe sex and alternative safe methods of sexual expression and all this other stuff. And they raise money for women's health initiatives and HIV prevention. But really, it's just a bunch of people masturbating. And they do like contests. Like, it gets weirder if that wasn't weird enough as it was. And they have like world records, like who can masturbate the longest between men and women. And just if you were interested, in 2012, the longest time spent masturbating for a male was a porn star, no surprise there, by the name of Sonny Nash, who beat the previous record by pleasuring himself for 10 hours and 10 minutes.
Good Lord.
Now,
oh my God.
If you're not impressed by that, they also, in 2012, so this year, again, San Francisco's version of the Masturbatathon. They set a new world record for distance. Standing.
Apparently,
there's a standing and a sitting version of this event. So the standing record was set by somebody who didn't want to give his full name, apparently. It's only listed first initial D, last name Hardy. And this is from Wikipedia, so I want to keep this as official as possible, so I'm just going to read it verbatim. Who spurted 13 feet 10 inches.
Jesus.
So anyway.
Oh, my
talk about
God.
All that. But they do other things. They do the time, men and women. They do number of orgasms. I don't know if that's on a daily basis. I don't know. It doesn't say. Ejaculation distance for men and women. And target ejaculation from a bullseye. On a bullseye.
That's fucked up. That's a lot fucked up.
Do you want to hear more of those ones?
Yeah. Oh,
okay,
I don't know.
Cisco 2009. Listen to these categories. Longest time spent masturbating a male coworker. This is going to be the worst one, I think, for our listeners. They also did a contest for longest time taking cum in the mouth.
Oh, sir. Oh, I can't. Oh, my God.
How gross is that? We got everybody in the chat room is all grossed out. And I knew they were going to be because when I did my the Would You Rather game, they were all freaked out. Now, this one I did not make up, folks. This is not coming from my perverted mind. This is a real thing that takes place every single year since, like I said, like 1995 in some kind of fashion. And all these people get together. I mean, this is an official thing. They have a logo. They have a website. This is covered by real news organizations. I don't even know where to go with this. I feel like I should ask you questions, but I think I know the answer to all of that. Would you participate in this? I feel like you would say a resounding no. Would you not participate, or would you go to wherever this is being held and watch?
No.
Yeah, no, I couldn't either. Even in my,
drunkest,
like, I don't care, I'll do whatever state, I don't think I could bring myself to one of these events.
These people must have arms of steel?
I don't understand. I don't get it. It's gross. But, you know, it's good for those people.
Way.
Do what you do. Whatever rocks your sock, man, go for it.
I can't. All right. Well, there's a masturbatathon, and we thought that you should know about it. And the more that we talked about it, I'm very sorry.
You feel like you need a shower after this podcast. You just feel so dirty and gross just talking about it.
Right. But we're winding down to our last 2 minutes, and I want you guys to stay tuned because your guiltiest pleasure, Uncensored Radio, is going to be on in just a couple of minutes. But I want to thank you guys all for listening. You can always catch us every Tuesday night at 8 Eastern Standard Time, and you can always catch us on our social media sites. We have Facebook, we have Twitter, we have the No Rules Just My Twitter page, we have our own individual Twitter page. You can email us at norulesjustmikes@gmail.com, and you can go to our website, myunscriptedradio.com. The Guilty Pleasure is Monday through Friday at 9 Eastern Standard Time, and the Jake Pentland Show is at Saturday at 4.
What happened there?
Masturbating, goodness.
I know, right? It just took a lot out of you. If someone had tuned in, that would sound probably bad, actually.
Yes. So, you know, people say, dog is your best friend. And Kinky Friedman says, money can buy you a fine dog, but only love can make his tail wag. And with that, I bid you guys adieu. Christian, thank you so much. It was amazing.
Amazing as always. Thanks, everybody, for listening in. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. And without further ado, we are going to turn you over to your guilty pleasure, Uncensored Radio.
Later.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Masturbator Todd.
everybody, and welcome to Uncensored Radio. We are your guiltiest pleasure. Oh, my gosh. Tonight, we have a great show planned for you. Mr. Jeffrey Evan is in the house. How are you, Jeffrey?
Hello. I'm very grateful that you were here.
He's slow. That's how he's doing,
right.
Slow.
Right,
what?
Exactly. He's all late reaction. He's like, I'm grateful.
Well, no, I didn't know if you were going to be here, and I'm not, in front of the computer. So
right.
I'm like, oh, my gosh, how am I going to know if she's here? So I'm, like, trying to listen to make sure, like, I hear somebody start kicking off the show, or I'm like, shit.
Right. Well, you know Katrina Johnson's here, so if I wasn't here,
hello.
She holds it down. How are you, girl?
I'll hold it down. I'll call you out. I'm good. I'm finally able to eat today because I've not been doing well with that, like, food poisoning thing. So look out, Las Vegas. I'm back.
I know. Like, she's, like, back and probably has a six-pack because of the food poisoning diet.
It did a body good. I'll give you that. It did a body good.
Well, that is awesome. I'm sorry that you felt bad like that, but I'm glad that you're able to, you know,
look skinny.
Little,
yeah, it's almost
little,
worth
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
it's like
I'm
my
glad you're
favorite
able to
line.
Even skinnier.
Yeah, my favorite line in The Devil Wears Prada was when the assistant was like, "I'm just one stomach flu away from my goal weight."
Oh.
Yeah, that was hilarious because I know girls who really believe that.
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, now I'm like 1 pound away from my goal weight. Thank you, food poisoning.
You need a visit.
Oh, no. I'll gain 10 pounds every time I go to your house.
Oh, I know. Jeffrey will feed your ass. Like, if you are short on food, go to Jeffrey's house because he's got plenty of food and he never wants anyone to leave, so you can stay there for, like, ever, and, like,
yeah.
he expects you to
eat
him
out
of house.
Oh, no, that's not true. I have to like you.
I'm going to take
like
out
you.
A second mortgage to feed you, because
right,
you must spend
right.
$1 million on groceries.
Mm-hmm. I'm just assuming I'm talking to people that you like. I, you know, all
I
people
would
you
hope
don't
so,
like, we've
too.
Already blocked. We've blocked from the show. We've disowned, we've blocked, and we pissed them off to no end. So hopefully they're no longer listening. They might be creeping, but, yeah. We've got our suspicions, right?
Mm-hmm. I have mine.
Mm-hmm. The creepy crawlers still be creeping around here.
Okay.
Speaking of creepers, I have this one fan that always finds me in any new account. On my website, on my 89 Facebooks, on Twitter, on everything, and this one just found me today on Foursquare, and I was trying to hit block, and I accidentally hit add, and I'm like, oh, man.
Ouch.
You can un-add it, though. That's easy. You can
I can't.
That.
Not on Foursquare. You cannot.
Oh, damn
it. Says pending. He has to answer my request first before I can block it.
You know what's
yeah.
going to be so messed up is that, like, that's not good. They need to fix that on Foursquare because it's like you got to be able to change your mind. Like I said, there are people that come in and out of your life for a reason, season, a lifetime. So those reasons and seasons sometimes got to go. You know?
Yeah, well, see, I was trying to block it, and I accidentally hit add, and now I can't take it back. So it's a problem.
Oh, man.
Jeffrey
well,
caught this person.
For him.
Yeah, I know, right? Jeffrey caught this person creeping on one of my Facebook pages, and it was like a really perverted compliment, like really
uh-huh.
sexual and just gross. And
yeah.
then right under that one, at some random one where I said listen to the radio show, I got a request supposedly from this person's girlfriend. That's this is my, you know who it is, right? I'm like, hey. The person said, hey, my boyfriend's name is such and such, and he really wants to you. And I think it's okay because I really like you as an actress.
Oh, my gosh. I feel like somebody's
yeah.
like, you're their freebie.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Like,
and, but it was
now
a green
wait.
Light.
I don't remember. Was he was cute, wasn't he?
No.
No? Oh, then I was thinking of another one. Because
had
at
a
one
nice
point
body.
I vaguely remember being like, throw it down. If she's giving you permission, go after it.
No, that's the one. He has a really nice body, but no.
Yeah. Is he like like body like a goddess, face from hell.
I think so. I just got muted by mistake. Yes, that is that's an accurate portrayal.
Yeah, I've known quite a few of those.
Well, that one just found me on Foursquare, and I'm going to be followed unless I can figure out how to block.
Damn it. Yes, all of you in the chat room, we know you guys are, like, psycho geniuses. You know these, like, Facebooks, Foursquare, you know this shit better than the people who created it. So let her know how she can block them, how she can reverse that ad.
Yeah, because I think I have to wait for him to approve it before I can block.
Probably. Mm. So what? That makes it even more fun because then he knows you blocked them.
Then he knows he got rejected.
Aww.
She doesn't like to be mean.
I don't like to be mean. I don't like you to know when I'm being mean.
Well, hey,
unless I'm
maybe.
Like forwardly aggressive. Yeah, I'd rather be covert with it.
Maybe he'll want to buy a headshot and he will donate to PayPal and he'll get a headshot sent. I'm just saying, with all the fan mail that's
coming. I really don't
want to
know what this person's going to do with that headshot.
Who cares as long as they get the money?
Hey, it's money, girl. We need all the money we can get.
No, I know, and it's just funny because I'm a part of all of these different social media outlets because I really think that the internet is one of my addictions.
It is.
Yeah.
We know it
totally is.
You're bringing up a really good topic because we're definitely talking about addictions today. It's been one of those days. We're going to get to it a little bit later, but you came up with a lot. Katrina Johnson did a lot of research this afternoon. There are a lot of addictions, and it's almost like every single person has one.
I'm fascinated by them. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep, it all triggers the same part of the brain. I actually had to go to like AA for a shopping addiction once. They actually have
it.
So I am 1,000% fascinated with all kinds of addiction, and I'm looking forward to when we get to that later on.
Yes.
I'm excited.
It's funny when I know Katrina likes a topic because I'll send her I'll go, okay, we're talking about this tonight. And then all of a sudden I'll start getting articles. And I'm like, she's into this one. You're like, this one, I got her. Other ones, the other day, they'll send it, and I don't hear shit from her. She'll say nothing.
I'm like,
true.
Oh, you want to talk about politics? Nah, I'm good.
talk about, you know, I don't know. You're pretty game. Like, I will say this. You and Jess, we'll talk about a freaking fly on the wall. If I go, let's talk about that fly on the wall, you'll give it a go. You won't be happy about it, but you will give it a go.
It'll be boring, but we'll be here.
Exactly. Oh, man. It's crazy. So, I mean, there have been so many things, like, going on in the news today. Everybody's talking about the damn fiscal cliff. I don't even know what that is. Like, am I the only dumbass in the world who doesn't know what the hell they're talking about?
No,
like,
I saw that on a post somewhere today online, and I didn't really know. I was like, fiscal cliff, oh, they must mean the end of the world or we're going broke or something. But then I found this, like, really great article on something else that I got sidetracked on. So I don't know what it is either.
Right. So, you know, maybe one day we'll be a responsible show and we'll talk about the fiscal cliff and the economics. But this is my thing. It's just a hard time. So, I mean, there's probably a million and one ways to fix it. And right now I just kind of want to focus on the positive. Like, I always, around the holidays, I don't want to think about, like, you know, the economy. I don't want to think about crime. I don't want to think about the world ending. But these are all the things that I kept seeing in the news today.
There's only 10 days left, so I don't know why anybody's worried about that fiscal cliff.
I know. Well, I mean, obviously I think they're trying to work on a solution, but it's just like, okay. But you know what I will say is that there's an article on the news today where they've been, you know, claiming the world was going to end, and it never is.
Isn't it tomorrow?
Yeah, it's supposed
Isn't
to
it
be 12, like the Mayan 12,
12
calendar.
Or whatever?
No,
yeah,
no.
It's
10
it?
Days.
It's the 22nd.
It's the 21st.
Oh, okay. Oh, so that's why you said there's only 10 days left. I was thinking, what kind of math is he doing? I thought we had 31 days and December.
No,
I don't
it's
think
my
the world
brother's
can another
birthday.
Clock.
It's Baby Emmett's birthday, the day the world ends.
Katrina, you've made his life complete.
Why?
The world can end because you were in Baby Emmett's life.
Ah! I missed that. That's totally what went over my head.
Right. Like, she was really like, I was
that
like,
that is
get
hilarious.
It. I
mean, can
if
I tell
the
you?
World ends on his birthday, he's like, he's been there, done. I mean, he's been there,
lived a
life. You know?
Why did I get a phone call from Mama Emmett this morning at like 7:15 talking about, I just was on Facebook and I'm so, so very excited, don't you know? She's like, that Katrina, I love her. God bless her heart. I see she said maybe she's coming to New Year's. I'm so excited. Bitch, I tell you what, you're going to do a bitch dead wrong if you don't come up at some point during that week.
You know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about Katrina Johnson, and it's like Auburn for New Year's or Vegas for New Year's. I think I know where Katrina's going
to
be.
I'm not saying she has to come here for New Year's, but I'm saying maybe she could come up for a few days in between while we all on vacation.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, man. You know.
And Joyce just wants to take you shopping at the new mall at Destiny USA.
I'm gonna need somebody else's credit card to go with.
Right, I was gonna say, didn't she just tell you she went to AA for shopping and you wanna throw it at the biggest mall of America?
Yeah, that's you're trying to do me dead wrong.
To say it's horrible because I was doing my financial situation speaking of going off cliffs and I apparently have gone off one, crashed and burned. Because that dawned on me, I can't shop again until, like, March, and I'm, like, already, like, losing my mind and, like, itching. It's very bad. I can't handle it.
I know. It's kind of a broke year for everyone. Everyone I know is kind of like, Christmas is not going to be as merry as I'd hoped. Like, you know, it is what it is.
Well, the mine doesn't have nothing to do with Obama. It's my grandfather's fault.
Yeah, mine doesn't either.
It's my grandfather's fault because he died and I was in mourning, so I shopped online too much. I blame him.
Oh, man.
Is that what it was?
Your excuse the year before?
Right?
The year before was the house.
And the year before
that?
That
year before was actually no, that was a really great Christmas.
Okay, I was going to say, it sounds like you need to go to AA for shopping.
I do. I feel like we can't take it with us, so, you know, and I'm a master
I'm
at reinventing myself and starting from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's bad when you're considering giving up the house so you could go shopping.
Yeah, that's bad.
Pretty bad. You need to get you another roomie. You can rent out one of those 80 rooms in that big-ass house of yours.
I know, right? No.
Well, if you think about how much you spend on your mortgage a year, it's not that much to warrant shopping stuff. Because if you calculate how much you spend for a year for your mortgage, and then you think about the stuff you can buy, like you're talking like barely a diamond bezel Rolex. I mean,
you realize how much I spend a year in a mortgage? I'm like,
yeah.
In 2 years, it's like, okay, wait, what's 1430 times 12?
I'm not a mathematician.
I don't know, 15,000.
Okay.
I'm guessing.
No, that's
no,
more
it's
than that.
Be more than
it's that. Way more than that. I was like, I am no mathematician, but man.
17,000.
Okay,
no,
$17,000, I could buy a Prius.
Yeah, 17,000. Okay,
or
and?
That's not that much. I mean, if you're going to give up your house just to go shopping, I'm saying you better get more than just a Prius.
Right.
Because your house is your life, bitch. We just said how you love having everybody over and how you are the house mom and how you feed everyone and, like, that's what you do. That's your joy.
I doubt a Prius
will bring you that much joy.
I did it at the last house, and it was, like, half the size of this.
Right. You guys know what? You know who just joined us? We have Norma on the line from Chick Chat. Hey, Norma.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Awesome. Well, she's going to be with us tonight. It's been a crazy day, has it? What happened? Did you get hit on by a guy? What you get?
No.
Wobbed? What happened?
I actually decided today to put the Christmas lights up, and it was just me and my cousin, and he was just going crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait,
see, you're like Jeffrey. You got to decorate and shit.
Wait,
I don't have time for none of that, because I feel like you put it up, you got to take it down.
No, we got bigger problems. Did you just say you just put your Christmas lights up today?
Yeah,
no.
That's what she said.
Hey, at least she got them up, because I ain't got nothing up.
Look,
Scrooge,
I don't even want to talk to you, Scrooge.
Why? It's December 11th. It's still early.
Yeah.
No. No.
I usually tell my block already has the lights up.
Jeffrey is on
our
block the day after Halloween. He had his
eyes. I have lights up on my little stairwell, and it's really cute. But my Christmas tree is up year-round, so I can't be getting any BS from you, Jeffrey.
Now, wait a minute. Katrina, your house is just as big as mine, and you only have that one tree?
Yeah. No, I have that one year-round, and then I have littler ones around.
Okay, well, you need to put a nice-sized one right
with
in the foyer when you first walk in. Right there.
No,
because
it gets
room.
Too messy. I have a little one there that's cute and it's green. My Hello Kitty tree is white. My Hello Kitty tree is white with Hello Kitty ornaments.
Yeah,
so
I
it's
know,
white
but
with pink
there.
And blue. Yeah, but then
it's
the other ones around are the typical green.
Okay, well, you need to send me pictures.
Why?
I don't understand the multiple tree thing. I think it's pretty ridiculous.
Okay, listen, so Ebony. Y'all remember that Christmas movie with Vanessa Williams, where she was Ebony on VH1? Y'all remember that shit?
Look,
that's the plan.
No.
Why
call me Ebony?
Because.
Why a black girl got to be Ebony?
That's what the movie was called, bitch. On VH1, you got a problem with it. Vanessa Williams was the female version of Scrooge.
Ain't nobody seen this version of Scrooge.
Yeah, it was real popular. It still plays on fucking TV.
I love Vanessa Williams, but I'm really looking forward to seeing the I think it's a Lifetime movie with one of the Maori sisters. You watch the show, right, Karen?
Yeah. Tori and what's the girl from Tori and Dean? She's in it.
First selling.
Tori.
Yeah, what's that bitch's name? Right, thank you, Norma.
Tori.
I know. I'm horrible with names. Like, my mind is like, I can't focus, and like, a lot of times I'm trying to talk and I'm trying to say someone's name and I can't think of it.
Bitch, but you knew the show she was on that had her name in the title, Tori and Dean.
Right. Well, that's how I know her now, Tori and Dean. It's like they're almost like a combo pack.
I don't like it. I think Tori got fat. I think they're both ugly. I don't care to watch them. I don't care if they keep multiplying. It's a dumb, boring show to me.
She had a baby like every year, Katrina. She didn't get fat. She had a baby.
Exactly. She's not fly anymore. Take some time, get some plastic surgery. If you're going to go Hollywood and be famous and on TV, handle your shit like everybody else.
You got to love that bitch. You know why I love that
show? I do not.
Why do you think it keeps giving me ideas for us to do? Because that bitch is hustling. She's broke, and she's busting her ass trying to make every last dollar.
Yeah, because her mama sure didn't give her none. She kept all that Aaron Spelling money to herself.
Yeah, she
which
only
was
got $800,000. Now, I mean,
how
that is a lot
do
of money.
That?
But when your father has hundreds of millions of dollars, that's something.
Like, to me,
it's because she got in a fist fight with her mom.
Well,
did you read her book? Did you read her book? Because they were.
I don't like her that much. She's not that cool.
I read
her
mom's book. Stories from Candyland, and then Tori Spelling's, like, first or second book, she, like, talks so much shit about her mom and, like, the things she did and, like, how she'd give her an apartment, but then Tori had to pay rent, and she bought Tori a car for her birthday but bought the color that she liked, not the color that Tori liked. Like, it was a pretty rough
Well, you know what? Cry me a river, build me a fucking bridge, and then get over it. Because my mom never bought me a car. Okay? My mom never gave me an apartment, so whatever.
Your mom didn't have hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, come on. Like, really? Because the son, he's got money. The son ain't doing nothing with his life, and he seems to have all kinds of money. But what they said was that Tori was saying how her mom and her were never close. Like, it was almost like a competition because she was daddy's girl, and the mom would be jealous. And so the mom and her never really had, like, a maternal-daughter kind of relationship. Like, it was kind of strange.
She was closer to the nanny.
Yeah.
And that was something that Candy was pissed off with, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's Candy's fault.
Dysfunction, honey.
I find it sad that the dad didn't write it on the will for her to have more money.
Right.
It's probably
like, this is my thing. They were saying how, like, he had one will, and then right before he died, I don't think he was in right mind, but the will was changed. And so they were always, like, she always said it was wrong, the mom cheated me out of it. But I agree, like, if I was daddy's little girl, like, my dad's going to take care of me, especially if he knows I don't get along. Like, he knows me and mom don't get along. I think my dad would be like, oh, let me step in here, you know. Because I'll say this, I've got some sisters. Like, I've got four sisters with my dad, or three sisters, four of us, and then I have a brother. And I know for a fact that, I hate to say this, but they're going to be, if my dad ever passed away, they would probably fight for certain things. And so I told my dad, I was like, you need to get a will, and you need to mark it out. And I don't care what you give me, what you give who, how it all breaks down. You do it the way you want to do it, because there's going to be a fight. If you let these women decide, like, it'll be World War fucking 1, 2, and 3. Like, it's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's
so,
been like that every time one of my grandparents dies. If, you know, you think that the grandparents have money, and in my case, they did, and the family just, like, went to blows over it, so... Like, my immediate family always just kind of bows out. We're like, listen, people, it's not worth it.
Right.
You would think, like, right now I have my cousin that her husband's mom passed away, and his whole family is fighting over her house, her money, her jewelry, her clothes, and it's like, really, people? Are you kidding me over clothes? Like, are you, you know, and the house? It's like being fought over by her own sister and brother instead of her own two kids. She has two boys, and the boys are like, whatever, deuces, you guys fight over it. I have my own family to worry about, you know? And these are older people fighting over it. It's crazy.
Yeah. People lose their freaking minds. When they lose someone, they lose their minds. And it's like, all sense of... I don't know. Like, it's sad. It's sad when people die, what people do. Like, they get real scandalous. So, but, you know, it's sad. I think that's so many different families. Like, it's so many. I don't know that it ever is any different. It seems like every kind of culture, every kind of race, every kind of age range, they're going to fight, you know. They're definitely going to fight.
Yeah.
But you know what? Speaking of fighting, we've got... Our fabulous Jamesy on the line, and he's got some news for us. James, you ready for the news?
I am ready for the news.
Hit it, Ben.
Oh, snap. You didn't know?
Whatever.
Whoa, I totally clicked the wrong thing. Okay, never mind. Sorry.
I liked it.
Wow. Okay, so... After a minor little technical difficulty, this is Lips, and I'm here with your primetime update. Now, first things first, ex-policemen get sentenced to life in prison for murder committed in 1957. A family is finally appeased when John McCullough, aged 73, was convicted in September 2012 for the murder of 7-year-old Maria Rudolph in December 1957. McCullough was 17 at the time of the murder. while the man still claims his innocence to the crime, it brings a long overdue sense of closure to the girl's family. Now, Charlie Sheen may not be such a bad boy after all. According to TMZ, which I'm on religiously, Charlie Sheen wrote a nicely sized $75,000 check to a 10-year-old girl named Jasmine, who was suffering from a rare form of cancer that affects her muscle tissue. It was reported that Charlie was talking with a policeman who told him the story of the little girl. The police thought, I can't read. Wow.
It's all right. Keep it pushing. We can't talk, but keep going.
All right. The police department was apparently raising money for the girl and her family, and Charlie opened his checkbook. So I have a question. Charlie Sheen, if you're listening, you've donated to a very deserving family, and Lindsay Lohan. Care to make a donation to the I'm a Broke Ass White Boy Foundation? Email us at instanceofradio@aol.com for more details. And last but not least, the odds were certainly in Jennifer Lawrence's favor when the Hunger Games star was voted the number one most desirable woman of 2013. AskMen.com has hosted this poll for the past 12 years, asked their readers to vote for who they think has it all, sex appeal, character, intelligence, and vote for who they think should be crowned most desirable. And this year, it's Miss Lawrence. Previous number ones include Sofia Vergara in 2012, model and actress Adriana Lima in 2006.
I agree with
that. And the very first winner was Italian film star Monica Bellucci in 2002.
Oh, she's hot too, but I don't agree with this year.
Yeah,
I don't really either. Mila Kunis came in at number two, and I think she would have been more deserving of number one.
I have a story about that.
And we also would like to shed a little bit of light on the shooting that recently happened in Oregon and send our condolences to the families of the victims. But other than that, that is it for the primetime update. I am Lips, and back to y'all.
Good job.
Where's the outro music?
Where's the outro music? Good
It'll be better
job,
next time,
good
I promise.
Job. Hey, it was better than mine yesterday. I was just coming off of the dome of what I could do. It didn't even make any sense. Anyways, you said you disagreed. I disagree also with this year's most desirable woman. Who would you have picked instead, Katrina Johnson?
I mean, I don't know. That's a tough one. I don't know. But not her.
Right.
I don't know.
I think Sofia Vergara.
Me too. I mean, she's pretty hot and she's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
And she's gorgeous and amazing. I agree with that one, but I don't know. I think they went down this year. I don't think she's sexy at all.
No, like she's a good actress. She had a hit movie. I get it. She's kind of the flavor of the month, but she's not sexy. Like Adriana Lima, Sofia Vergara. What was that?
I said Mila should have won.
Oh, okay. So my story. A friend of the show, who lives on the same street that you do, Karen, was getting her nails done at a local nail salon in L.A., and I've been to this salon a bunch of times with her, and she said she walked in and she saw Mila Kunis sitting there, and she was kind of cracked out, and she was probably on something, and she was just, like, very full of herself, kind of, and, like, a little tweaked out and was like, oh, yes, I just got back from out of the country, and I was in Europe, and then Aston, you know, he's being difficult because I haven't seen him yet, but I just got back, and it's 4 a.m. my time right now. And this friend of the show, this spy, was sitting there, like, rolling her eyes, like, really? Come on, shut up. And said that Mila was there with no makeup on and was completely busted.
I can't imagine she's ever busted because I've seen, like, TMZ photos with no makeup and she's still cute.
She doesn't even look like she wears makeup. That's
right.
The thing. She doesn't,
yeah.
You know, she's not like me. You don't wake up and next to her and say, oh, damn it, is that a drag queen? She looks really natural. I just thought it was really funny that our spy on the scene was hating and ran into her, and we were talking about it this morning, so it's just funny. And she did mention something like, yeah, she was sexiest woman of the year. I didn't think she looked good.
That's funny. I just
I like Mila Kunis. I don't. I mean,
yeah.
I like her, but if you tell me somebody has a bad attitude, then it kind of makes me wonder about them. But I really liked her since the 70s show.
Yeah. I've always liked her. I loved her in that movie. Was it Friends with Benefits?
Oh, yeah, with Justin.
Oh, hey,
with Justin Timberlake. I thought she looked amazing. She was funny. She was sexy. I loved her. I thought she was great.
Mm-hmm.
But I always think it's funny. But I always think it's funny when people, like, you know, run into them in person.
Right, right.
But I wouldn't have said that she was. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, she made Justin seem sexy. Like, she was that good in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Justin is sexy either way. I am sorry.
he was, and I don't know, for some reason, like, now he's got, like, this, I don't know, the geeky thing is a little too geeky for me. I don't know. I need a little bit more fluid in my man.
I probably would have picked, if I had to pick one, speaking of hot women and nerdy men, I probably would have picked Megan Fox.
Oh, hell yeah.
And
yeah.
She's with, but even though she's kind of irrelevant right now because she got a little big for her britches and didn't do the last Transformers, but whatever. She hasn't really done anything, so she's not that relevant, but I still think she's gorgeous and fly, and I don't understand why she's with the reject from 90210, Brian Austin Green.
He's actually really nice. Like, he used to do this club in L.A., and he was, like, so super nice. Like, it was called Green Light, and it was, like, at the top of this building. It was, like, part of it was, like, hip-hop. Yeah, half of it was hip-hop, and the other half was, like, old school. It was, like, the best freaking club. Like, you would just be, I mean, it was, like, people would just be dancing. And it was, like, everybody who's anybody would eventually go through. Like, you would just, it was a great club. But he was really, really nice. So, I can see where maybe he's dating. Huh?
It wasn't called Peach Pit After Dark.
It wasn't. No, it wasn't the Peach Pit After Dark.
Well, I know what kind of parties you get invited to. Did everybody get naked after a while?
No nakedness.
Oh,
this was
then I didn't miss anything.
Affair. Yeah, this is actually a classy affair. Yeah, it's too bad. But no, he was a great guy, great party. And then, you know, speaking of a great guy, Charlie Sheen, what he did, that was pretty awesome to pay that young girl's bills off. Like, medical bills are ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Charlie is a bad guy. I just think he goes crazy, and he goes crazy on, you know, on producers and shows and stuff like that. But
I just think he gets high. That's what I think.
He just gets high.
Right. When he gets high, then he goes crazy. But speaking of getting high and getting crazy, his ex-wife, Brooke Mueller, Mr. Jeffrey's friend, he loves Brooke Mueller. She checked herself into rehab. You've told me. Checked herself into rehab for the 19th time. This bitch has been in rehab 19 times.
Okay, you're just go commit yourself to go live with the Dalai Lama and study with the monks. Just commit yourself to live in the mountains, wear orange flowing cloth, and make Belgian beer because you suck at life.
Right.
There's no point. Just, I don't even think she's trying at that point. Come on.
Right. Well, this one thing I will say. She said she checked herself in as a preventative measure because she felt herself falling off the wagon. She was, she had a situation where they said she OD'd. Like, I think it wasn't even less than a week ago. They said she OD'd, and she denied OD'ing and said that she basically was addicted to her. She took too many Adderall. She has ADHD. And so she took one too many of those pills and had an adverse effect to it, which sounds like an OD situation. And she said, you know, she's been to rehab so many times, and they said when she checked in, her blood alcohol level was like, there was no alcohol, there were no illegal drugs, but she did have a lot of Adderall in her system. She just sounds like someone who's completely addicted. Like, if she's not addicted to, like, drugs, then she's addicted to alcohol. If she's not addicted to alcohol, then she's going to be addicted to cigarettes, or she's addicted to, like, this drug, this prescription drug.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she just has to take something, it seems like.
Well, that's the thing. That's with that's how it is with an addictive personality. You know, they call alcoholism a disease. They call drug abuse a disease. Well, it's all an addiction. It's all the same thing. Your body has a need, and it's obsessing over this need until you feed it, and then it floods your brain with serotonin, and you're happy, and you're ecstatic, and that's why they have this, like, addiction. Besides the physical, the physical needs, like if you're on heroin, you start to get flu-like symptoms and you start to throw up and you're like physically really ill. Well, not all addictions are like that, but, you know, a lot of them are. But really what they're going for is the need in their brain, that they need the chemical, that they need the fix. And every addiction feeds the same part of the brain when you feed it and you give them another dose. In my case, it was shopping. Every time I go shopping, I get a little high, I feel happy. Retail therapy, what? And they told me that you might as well go be a drug addict because you have the same chemical composition in your brain that is an addiction. And when you feed it, it's the same high or the same joy or the same whatever. So when people are emotional eaters, you know, you feel bad, you eat, Jeffrey. That's the same thing. You know, I go shopping, you eat a box of Oreos, whatever, it's the same thing. But I think if you're Brooke Mueller, stop taking Adderall, stop saying you have ADHD, and just admit that you're a junkie and a loser. And I don't know, figure something out. Get out of Hollywood. Stop being a socialite and a wannabe actress. And go somewhere where it's not so prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, Jeffrey, what do you think? Because you're a fan of her. You like her. Like, you were watching that reality show, that Paris Hilton reality show, but you did say that you were watching it only to see her fall off the wagon.
It's true, and I would watch the next show. I mean, I feel like, look, we all know she's going to crack again, and it's a shame, but I feel like, why deny the public the entertainment? And I feel like she should just let the cameras follow her around.
Oh,
damn.
Well, that's just wrong. So basically, Jeffrey is agreeing with me and saying she sucks at life, but film it. That's all he's saying.
He says, but entertain me. Entertain me with it, please.
But let me watch. Right.
Okay, so you sent me a really good article about the top 5 addictions. Can you tell us what those are, Katrina? Because I was blown away when I read it.
Well, yeah, that's actually a book that's out right now. That ad was from a book on all of the latest addictions, which I was reading, and it was hilarious. I mean, not hilarious. That's the wrong word. It's interesting to me. Let me rephrase that. It's interesting to me how Americans take up something like 5% of the earth, but a third of its consumption. Mm. And so it was fascinating because we are a greedy ass country. We are a bunch of I don't know, drunk, alcoholic, fatty, greedy, drugged out folks.
So what's
your
point?
What are you trying to prove, girl? You don't send it half of us on this show.
I'm not saying that I'm surprised. I'm just saying, according to this book, and I haven't read the whole thing, so I can't say that I subscribe to it all the way or not, but the book is called Addict Nation, and it's by that host of Headline News, Jane Velez Mitchell, and it's interesting because it says, according to her, the top 5 addictions in the United States are prescription pills, because they're everywhere, and the top prescription pills that are abused are Vicodin, oxycodone, Ambien, Xanax, Klonopin, and Valium. And that
I don't
was
know
surprising.
How people could take oxycodone. Like, that is the worst fucking pill. They gave
it's
me that.
It's like heroin.
I had my teeth pulled. It was like, I felt like I was about to die. Like, I don't ever want to feel that way again. I took the pain. Like, I was like, I'll just take the pain. I don't want this pill.
What did the pill do to you?
It made me, like, nauseous.
Loopy?
And it made me, like, I couldn't get out of my bed. I mean, I literally was just like, it gave me worse side effects than the freaking tooth, my all four of my wisdom teeth being pulled.
Wow. That's
my
crazy. Well, you're not a good
well.
Drug addict.
Why not?
You suck
Damn.
At that.
Damn.
Okay, so the number one is prescription pill addiction. The number
okay.
two is food addiction.
Oh, yeah, I agree about that.
And according to this book, the number three addiction in the United States is crime and punishment. And it says that America's favorite pastime involves crime. With, like, all of the crime TV shows that we have that we watch, all of the money that we spend, rather than preventing crimes, we spend so much money, tracking criminals, like, having these long, extended investigations, people at the crime scene, forensic testing, offering rewards when we find subjects. All of that sort is just feeding to a further fascination with crime in the nation. The number four biggest addiction, according to this book, is addiction to shopping. I can relate. Guilty as charged. I think that I'm the main proprietor of this addiction, but I understand. And then it says number five is addiction to technology. And that people are so cyber addicted now because you can just get anything on the internet. Porn, 24/7, for free. And, you know, now it's in your hand. It's not just in your tablet and in your computers at home, but also in your cell phone. You know, there's an influx with emailing and texting and Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Skype, Google, Yahoo, iTunes, all of it, and millions of chat rooms, and then all sorts of shopping. So I agree with that one. I'd say I'm guilty with that one, too.
The only thing I don't agree with is that crime one. I'm surprised sex isn't in there. Because I know a lot of sexually addicted people.
I think they're putting sex in with the technology. They're sticking it in there. And sex makes the list.
Facebook.
Sex makes the list, but it's not top five in this one. Now, I did find another one that was the top 10 addictions in the U.S., and that was on there. But that one was a little different, but this was just the book, Addicted Nation, and it's kind of fascinating. They have a trailer. You can check it out and see, they go more in depth with this crazy YouTube commercial that they did. But it's pretty interesting. I mean, I could kind of relate to all of them. It's interesting, though, to me that first it's pills and then it's food. Jeffrey.
Interesting.
What do you have to say about that?
Look, I'm with Karen, like the oxycodone or whatever, which if you guys watch the documentary I was talking about last night, you would even have, it'd be even funnier. But I don't like that stuff. It makes me feel icky. But I had the ephedrine problem years ago, so I got that. And the food, I totally get that as is. I'm fat as fuck.
Do you self-medicate with sugar and fast food?
No.
Because it says that's what we do.
That's a fucked up thing. It's just a portion control. Like, I just overeat. Now, don't get me wrong. There's days, like, I'll binge on some ice cream and shit. But, like, fast food, it's not, I mean, once in a while. But it's more like I'm just overeating everything. Like, especially if I'm stressed.
Okay. How about you, Ms. Ashley? Do you have any, could you relate to any of these? I know you don't have any addictions, but could you relate? Do you overindulge at anything, or do you know anybody who does, or where do you weigh in on this? All right, well, you're unattached. Okay. Norma, here's to you. What do you think?
I was muted. They had me locked in a cage.
Not only does she not have any addictions, but she's shunning all of us. She does not agree with this conversation.
Fired.
I did not mute her. I did not mute her.
No,
I was
she
on
got
Twitter.
Dropped. Bitch, you got to pay attention. That's the reason why somebody has always got to be looking at the computer, because Karen Ashley is fucking forever getting dropped.
That's what happens when you have AT&T, I'm just saying.
No, you know what happens? That's what happens when you live in L.A. It's just what happens in L.A. Your shit gets dropped. It don't matter what service you're with. You go through a canyon, it's just no service if you're on the side of a mountain. It's not going to happen.
You see, she tries to run my ass under the bus. Oh, Topher dropped me. It's his fault.
I was going to believe it, too.
Yeah, no, I relate to, like, a couple of the things. Like, I wouldn't say shopping, but I relate to spending money. Like, it's a chore for me to save money. I'm a spender. Like, I've figured it out. I've realized it. Luckily for me, I date a guy who's a saver. So it's like, I think it's shopping. I mean, I don't know that it's, I'm not really buying things. I'm like more like, oh, I got to buy this, or oh, I got to invest in this, or oh, I need to update this, and I'll just spend the money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously food. I love food. I come from two cultures that are all about the eating. It's like, okay, let's go. It's your birthday. Let's eat. Okay, you got a promotion. Let's eat. Oh, okay, you lost a pound. Let's eat. Like, it's like every celebration is let's go eat. So I can see that. The other ones, I don't really, you know, I'm not really addicted to crime or nothing like that. You know, I would say, though, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I have a girlfriend that's addicted to crime shows. She would way rather sit at home and watch Law & Order.
Yeah.
Any shout out. Then go out with me and my friends to a nice dinner and, like, out and have girl time. She's like, nope, sorry, I'm going to stay in, watch a Law & Order marathon and rub one out. And we're like, well, okay then. Good luck with that.
Those shows are so popular. Like, think about it. Law & Order, CSI, you know, there's, like, a million CSIs. There's a million Law & Orders. And before then, there were, like, always crime shows. Like, crime shows have always been fascinating to people. Like, you can go way back into, like, even the first television shows, there were crime shows, you know? But you know what I will say? I think, like, workaholic, I'm addicted to work. I obsess about it. I think about it. I'm
not
always,
fun.
Like, yeah.
I mean, it's good for me since I plan on working with you, but I'm just
yeah. right.
Yeah, they put her on her toes.
I know, right? I'm like always thinking of work. I'll be texting Katrina, Jeffrey early in the morning, late at night. It's like always thinking of work.
I know.
How much do you have any of those?
Let a motherfucker sleep.
I figure you'll just wake up and, like, you're 3 hours ahead. I figure you're either up or you'll wake up to it. Like, I give you a little love, a little token.
I get a little sad sometimes when I wake up and there's nothing.
Mm-hmm. See? He's addicted to me.
Now.
That's what it is. What about you, Norma? What are your addictions?
I could see the food addiction because it is like comfort food. And for us, like, I'm Mexican, so it's very like whenever
Hello?
You go to somebody else's. Yeah, whenever you go to someone's house, it's like, what do you want to eat? And then it's like, I just made a big pot. And if you say no, it's like, no, you're eating. And I'm going to give you
That's
more. I'm going to give you double.
Right.
Like, if you say no to somebody that just cooked a big meal, it's like very insulting. So it's like comfort food. It's like, you know, and not only that, it's, you know, a lot. Me and my girlfriends are always like, okay, let's go to dinner. You're right, you know, let's celebrate, let's go out to dinner and then dancing or something like that, you know, but it's always food, always somehow
related. At least you dance after your dinner. I ain't even dance.
Yeah, at least you're getting a workout.
Yeah. And then the shopping addiction. Shopping. I would, if I had money, I would be spending it like crazy. And when I do have money, it's like, wow, I really need these shoes. They look so cute. I really need them. And I know I don't. It's just I need to buy them.
Right.
Yep. And
what about you, Miss Katrina?
Oh,
do you have another one, Norma? What's other one? What's your other one?
I got to find it.
What was the last? Oh, the technology one. I always have to, like, if I go walk into a cell phone store, I have to look at all the cell phones and what they do. I don't know why.
Really?
And I'm not even buying a cell phone. I just want to know what that cell phone does, like the little gadgets or the little tricks that it does.
Oh, how funny.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, I do have another one, another top 10 list. And
okay.
This is according to the Masters in Public Health, the 10 most common addictions plaguing health in America.
Okay.
Number one is media. Again, like, you know, TV in addition to social media. Number two, according to them, is nicotine. So, like, cigarettes.
Jeffrey Emmett.
Tobacco.
James.
Yeah.
James
70
Jeffrey.
Million Americans are plagued by this.
Jeffrey
yeah,
and
that's
James.
Not good. Yeah. And then number three is alcohol.
Jeffrey.
Because it says that 19 million people over the age of 12, between the age of 12 and 17, need treatment every year. People 12
Katrina
to 17,
Jeffrey.
That's crazy. yeah, but I didn't start till I was of age at least. And then number four, it says, is marijuana.
Oh.
It says that 6% of the population over 12 in the United States meets the government's criteria for substance abuse. So people say that it's not addicting and blah, blah, blah. Well, it is.
It's a gateway drug.
I agree. Number five, according to this one, is food because, you know, Americans overeat and we have junk food everywhere, blah,
right.
blah, blah. It says
Karen
really two
Ashley,
thirds.
Norma, Jeffrey, Katrina, when we get her with us, we make her addicted to food, too.
Well, I love to eat. I just try and counteract it with working out, but I eat junk. I eat crap when I eat. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It says that two thirds of the country is overweight.
Yeah,
so that's most of us, it says most of us are fat. That's not good. It says
that's
the number
not.
Six addiction in the U.S. is gambling. I didn't know that one, but I live in Vegas, so I shouldn't be surprised.
Right.
I make money off of all of you gamblers. Come one, come all, welcome. I will nourish your addiction.
She will love you.
I will. Number seven, according to this one, is prescription drugs. And again,
oh, wow.
It says the first one is OxyContin. That says it's the number one abused drug in the country that's prescribed. But
they
then it
just
says
like,
also
stop prescribing that. Like if you know this is like a problem and it's highly addictive, why are we even prescribing it? Like what is it for?
Yeah.
It's like pain pills, right?
It's like pain pills, but it's the same ingredients and the same high as heroin.
Oh, wow.
So what happens a lot of times is people start with OxyContin, but then if you buy it on the street, there's such a high markup that they'll then turn to buying the cheaper version, which is just heroin, and it's so much cheaper to get and easier to get than the prescription pill, which are really supposedly controlled and very expensive. So people end up doing heroin because it's the same high, except they don't just swallow it. They, like, smoke it or whatever. I watch all of those drug shows. I love those. I think it's fascinating, addiction and how the brain works. I took a couple classes with the famous Dr. Drew.
I love him.
I love him. Yeah, he gives really
he's
good classes. He's an addiction specialist, so he's really good. It says the eighth addiction is bulimia, which is
like growing up.
Interesting.
Is that growing up or starving? Bulimia is the drug.
Like growing up.
Bulimia is throwing up. So it's interesting that the fifth addiction is food and the eighth is an eating disorder. Go figure. The eating disorder must be the third.
Too many addictions. Fuck.
Well, the last two, number nine and number ten, are definitely you, Jeffrey. So number eight is bulimia. I don't think that's any of us that are on today.
Nah. We like
no.
We eat too much.
I'll keep it.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
happened?
Was. Okay, number nine is cocaine.
It's been
allegedly.
A fun show. I gotta go.
No. We do not condone drug abuse. We're just joking. Jeffrey is not addicted to cocaine.
If
it's
I
funny,
was,
it says,
I'd be really skinny and I'd probably be important.
That's funny because it says that as the economy decreases, we as a population switch from cocaine to crack.
Wow.
Because when we're poor, we can't afford the cocaine, so we switch on down. Wow.
Damn.
Okay. And then it says the number 10 addiction in the United States is hallucinogens, which are ecstasy, so MDMA, and it says LSD and PCP and mushrooms and mescaline. But I thought mescaline was what they used to treat other drugs. Isn't it?
You got me.
I don't know. I don't know drug addicts, to be honest.
He doesn't know drug lingo.
I was like the closest thing to being one. So, I mean, I got nothing.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, these ones are more interesting because it's based on the public health and how it affects you mentally
right.
and physically. So these ones are interesting. But gambling, I didn't know that was that serious.
I've had friends that were addicted to gambling. Like, I know people who've lost their homes and, like, they just were insanely, like, taken by the risk, the chance. Like, they just, you know, you get addicted to that one win and think, oh, it's coming, and, you know.
Oh, I see it. And gambling is...
Yeah,
it's so glamorized here.
It's so luxurious, and there's so much money that it's you know, based off of, you know, addiction, because they couldn't afford those amazing, you know, casinos if people weren't spending all of their damn money.
Billions. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I also know somebody that lost their home, and he was married and had a kid and everything, and he still lost everything because of his gambling addiction that apparently he hid from his wife for a while.
Wow.
How do you do that? That's crazy.
I don't know. Especially when you're married, because, I mean, I would assume when you're married, I know different people, you know, have different ways of handling their money, but when you're married, don't you both know what your financials, you know,
listen, I know what the other person's finances are before we get intimate,
anyway.
Okay? I already know how much you paid the IRS, how much your child support is. I know what's in your bank account. I got your FICO on lock. Don't even worry about that.
Oh, how much your child support is.
I know how much spending cash you're working with. Don't you worry. I got that calculated and on deck at all times, because I need to know.
Because you need to shop, and I need to know if I can use your money
right.
to shop.
Exactly.
Exactly. To know how much you've got left to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Free your addiction.
Yep.
Man.
I'm really fascinated by addiction and how the brain works and how people really just can't live without and why. I love it. I think it's just amazing. I think it's unfortunate that my addictions usually are very expensive.
Right.
Like, why couldn't I just be addicted to the internet, a flat fee all month long, and I'm good to go? No. I have to be addicted to shopping and champagne. Really? That sucks.
That's one thing they didn't mention, alcohol. Is that still, like, drugs, or does that fall under one of the drug categories?
It was in the second list, I think. But I guess we've moved on to bigger drugs, prescription pills.
Right,
right.
They're like, we got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
You're the wonderful wife of West Virginia.
Yeah, we got to check that out. We also have to check out our Twitter page. Jeffrey, what's our address?
@UncensoredRadio.
Yes, don't forget to follow us. And Ms. Ashley, if somebody wanted to check out our website, where could they do that?
They could go to myuncensoredradio.com, and they can check us out.
And new pictures?
Absolutely, new pictures coming soon.
Excellent. And you all can follow me on Twitter @KatrinaAJohnson. Ms. Ashley, what's your Twitter handle?
@KarenAshley.
Excellent. Jeffrey, what's your Twitter handle?
@JeffreyEmmett.
And Ms. Norma.
She got a new one.
Right on us.
Got a new one. It's @NormitaDLC.
All right. All right. How do you spell that?
N-O-R-M-I-T-A and then D-L-C.
Excellent. All right. Well, Ms. Ashley.
Guys, you can check me out on AMC Press tonight. I'm going to be co-hosting with them. They are our fans and our friends, and they've invited me to co-host. So please check us out. It's also another Blog Talk Radio show. And we'll talk tomorrow. Like, we'll have something crazier to talk about, I'm sure.
I'm excited.
This is very fun, girls. Very fun.
Thanks, Norma.
Karen, Kat, are you ready for this?
U-C-R. Go. We're saying what we want. Give it to you nonstop.